Hello, everybody. I hope that all is well. My name is Pastor Jay, and I am so excited for another awesome Sunday. This is the day that the Lord has made, so we will rejoice and be glad in it. I am so glad to be able to speak to you on today. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter number 5. Our focus will be around verses 6 and 7. But whenever you get a chance, I want you to read all of that. Chapter number 5, 1 Peter chapter number 5. I promise you it will bless your life. And the title of what we're going to deal with today is called The Underestimation of Humbleness. God bless you on today. I pray that your hearts is in the right place so that you can receive a word from God. So I want to bring this to your attention, and I'm so excited. I want to discuss the idea and the thought of being humble and how we can actually fix our humbleness, how we can raise it up to another level. And I just want to give you a few things that you can think about. And I want you to actually really try to listen to this and get better. I was thinking about being humble, and I was thinking about humbleness the other day when I was in the grocery store. Those that know me, they know that I love gummy lifesavers. So I go to the grocery store, I get out the car, I go in inside, and as I'm walking through the door, there was a gentleman that was coming around the corner as I was coming through the front door, and I did not see him, and I don't think he saw me, but when I was walking in, he was coming around the corner, and I actually tripped up. Like, he was coming out with his grocery cart. He ran into the side of me with his cart, and it almost knocked me over. Long story short, he was so sympathetic. He felt so bad. He was following me around the store, apologizing. And I let him know that it's okay. You know, accidents happen and it's cool. It's fine. All is well. I go to the aisle. I get my gummy lifesavers, and I go up to the front of the store, and I look up, and he's right there. He would not let me pay for those gummy lifesavers. He paid for the gummy lifesavers. Then he turned around and tried to ask for cash. Then he turned around and tried to offer me cash. He just felt so bad about what happened. And I was letting him know, you know, it's okay. It's all fine. And it's all well. Everything is good. And I'm okay. So we actually started to talk. He asked me, what's my name? I told him, hey, my name is Jay. I'm a pastor. And he immediately started to open up his heart. The guy almost started crying. And long story short, I ended up praying for him because there was somebody that was in his family who's suffering not really cancer, but it's a really tough illness that they are dealing with. And he was just like, Pastor, I just need somebody to pray for me. So I prayed for him. I gave him a hug. We shook hands. He went his way and I went my own way. But it triggered this whole idea of humbleness. Like, I've been dealing with that for the past several days. And I just must say that God is awesome. God is a good God. I'm so grateful for his son, Jesus. And I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit for interceding. Now, I said all of that to say that what if when that guy bumped into me with that cart, what if I would have flew off the deep end? What if I would have cussed that guy out? What if I would have reacted and did anything sideways? I would have missed out on that opportunity to use my calling, what God has called me to be. And that is to be a pastor. That is to be a shepherd. Now, there's a few things that we have to put in perspective, because God actually ran into the side of me in order to get me to stop and deal with who he needed me to deal with, I was able to operate in my calling because of humbleness. Being humble is a requirement for all of us. Being humble is a requirement for the pastor. Being humble is a requirement for the congregants. Being humble is something that God requires all of us to be. I love scripture because scripture places it perfectly. Scripture talks about how we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So with that being said, we are all on a level playing field, although our callings are different. Now, God asks us here to be humble and to look out for one another, to love one another, to help one another. If you look at the text, Peter is writing this letter to the Christians. They're scattered abroad and they are in different places. But one thing Peter is touching on, and what I want you to get from this entire text, is that we must be humble. We must lower ourselves in order for God to be exalted in our lives. So if we are to increase how we are being humble, we can increase what God is trying to do in this earth. You can do your homework, and I want you to look at the scripture and look it up and research it if you want to. But text say that if my people, which are called by my name, I'm gonna stop right there and let you finish that. But God is saying that if my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? I'm gonna stop right there. You can finish the rest or you can look it up. So Peter is actually reminding the shepherds, and he's talking to the shepherds, and he's talking to the elders, and he's expressing how we are to humble ourselves underneath the elders, how we are to pause and step back and show reverence and show homage to our elders, because our elders are the ones that has went before us and has experienced things and has walked the walk that we are trying to walk. Peter is reminding us that he has walked with Christ, that he had a firsthand account with the suffering of Jesus Christ. So Peter is telling them, I'm not telling you about something that I heard about. I'm telling you about what I know and what was given to me specifically, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. But in order for us to accept, in order for us to endure, in order for us to get through what's going on in this world and get through what is thrown at us, we have to first humble ourselves underneath the hand of God. Now, some people might say, and I've heard this so many times because it is a bad narrative that's going around. I hear people saying, I don't have to apologize to nobody. I don't have to say that I'm sorry. I don't have to step back and listen to nobody. I can do all of this stuff by myself. But if you look at this text and then the scripture starts to speak to you, it should leave you with three simple questions. And what are those three simple questions? Okay, thank you so much. I'm glad you asked. I hope that once you read this text, I pray that you have these three questions. Who am I connected to? That's question number one. Question number two, what am I prioritizing? Question number three is, who in the world do I think I am? Now, I'm going to explain this to you because in order for us to understand the type of humbleness that God is trying to exercise through Peter, we have to understand and see who we are connected to. See, it's hard for some of us to be humble because we run with people who think they know everything. We run with people who don't care about nobody else but themselves. Sometimes we run with people for some apparent reason that they don't care about nobody but themselves. Now, I want you to think about that, Because what I want you to do, you have to look in the book of Ephesians, and I want you to read and find and do your own research when it talks about love, trust, and unity. Because in order for you to be humble and in order for you to practice humility, you are going to have to connect yourself with people that love other people other than themselves. You're going to have to connect yourself with people who trust people. A person who does not trust, they cannot be trusted. And a person that when they speak, they should put energy into unifying people and not breaking up people. I don't know about you, but that's what the gospel is. The gospel is here to pull us all together. But in order for us to come together, we're going to have to show a high level of humility. So I want you to get in the book of Ephesians, and I want you to do your research, and I want you to find where it talks about love, trust, and unity. Now, for that second question about who are you prioritizing, I want you to really think about that, because when we think about being humble and how we can heighten our humbleness within our lives, we have to understand, what are we putting before God? What are we prioritizing? It's hard to live a righteous life. It's hard to live an elevated life when the only thing that matters and the only thing that we care about is making all the money that we want to make and not worrying about anything that has anything to do with God. Now, I want you to understand this, because there are some times in your life you can't fix your own situations. I know sometimes when you get in tough spots, I know sometimes when you get in tough moments, the first thing that you're going to want to do is say, I don't care about that church stuff. I need money. So you push and do overtime, and you push and you push church to the side, and you push on your side, but you abandon what God is trying to tell you so you can prioritize and do the things that you think can elevate you in your own life. But I want to point you to scripture, because I can't leave you out there by yourself, okay? Now, the Bible talks about in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33, it talks about how you ought to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of those things will be added on to you. Now, the reason why I want to throw that out there to you, because a lot of us, and I throw my hands in there, because there was a point in my life when I used to be that way. All I wanted to do was hustle. All I wanted to do was grind. But I found out that all I was doing was going backwards. But I messed around and ran and saw this text where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of those things will be added. So next thing you know, I'm praying more. I'm trying to get in my Bible. I'm trying to love people. And things start happening. Doors started opening. Paperwork started moving. Elevation started happening. People's hearts started to change. People started to smile more. People started to laugh more. I don't know about you, but it seems like, and I want you to look at your life, but don't it seem like the harder you try to work to put extra dollars in your pocket, it seems like the more you need, and the fact that you're going backwards? I want you to look at your life, and I want you to think about that. I really want to dig in on this one, this third part, because you got to understand that we have been underestimating humbleness. So that brings me to my third question that I threw out there to you. Who in the world do you think you are? And I actually had to ask myself this same question. Pastor Jay, who in the world do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Now, Peter, in this text, Peter is reminding the Christians, I know you're going to read some scripture. I know you're going to start to get blessed, but don't you forget where you came from. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget where God got you going. Don't you forget who holds your life. Because I don't know about you, if you mess with this text and you started reading and you're going to feel growth. You're going to start feeling strong. But what Satan will do is Satan will come in and Satan will have you with a know-it-all spirit. Satan will have you with, can't nobody touch me. Can't nobody do nothing for me. Can't nobody say nothing to me. Can't nobody pour into me. Next thing you know is you're walking around. People see you coming. They go the other way. It's because Satan has trapped you in a corner and he gave you a spirit of being a know-it-all. So God is actually busting open the spirit right now and asking you this. Who do you think that you are? Okay. I can't just leave you right there because I'm not fussing at you. I want to point you in the right direction because Proverbs chapter number 3, starting around verse number 5, you can read 5 and 6, and it talks about how we are not to lean into our own understanding. And if anybody need a little bit more, because somebody going to say, you can't tell me what to do. I got it all on my own. But I want you to read Romans chapter number 5, verse number 14, because what happens is we step outside of where we should be because we want to think that we know everything. But that verse in that text talks about how in the world can they hear without a pastor? I remember that one time in my life, I could not be told nothing in all of this. And I ain't want to hear nothing about no pastor. That's just a man. I don't care nothing about none of that. Until that day when I closed my eyes and went to bed and Satan tried to grab me in my sleep and I had to plead the blood of Jesus. I hadn't missed church since Jesus saved me from going, from dying and going to hell. I had to actually pull on to what I heard Pastor Reverend Ferguson say so long ago, where all you got to do is call on the name of Jesus when you get in trouble. So what I'm telling you is you don't want to get to a point where you stop listening to the preacher and you stop listening to the pastor. And I'm not telling you that I'm everything and I'm all of that to man. But what I'm telling you is that if the pastor got to have a pastor, who do you think you have to have? So who do you think that you are? Let me slow down for a little bit because you might be saying, well, I'm a good person and I don't need all that. You ain't got to be hollering at me like that and all of that stuff. So I want you to actually go to Romans chapter number 8 and look at verse number 5 when it speaks about our sinful nature. I don't know about you, but you got to read and dig in there because sometimes I do things and I wonder, why in the world did I do that? Why in the world did I say that? Why in the world did I think that? You got to be connected to the right folks. You got to prioritize the right folks. You got to check your ego at the door in order for your humbleness to be there. Because if you don't do those things, you're going to play into the sinful nature of what you want. Your body is going to be telling you, hey, give me this. It's okay. Smoke those drugs. It's okay. It's legal. Smoke that weed. It's okay. You can sniff that. It's okay. You can be with her. It's okay. You can be with him. It's okay. You can do all the cussing and fussing and ranting, and you can still get up and go to church and be holy. You can still do all of these mixed up, crazy types of things. But I want you to understand is that by nature, we are sinful. But in order for us to maintain and keep our relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have to maintain our humbleness, because if we don't, our sinful nature will take over. Have you ever thought about this? Why in the world is it so hard to say the name God or say the name Jesus or say Holy Spirit without people looking at you weird? But in the meantime, you can pull up to a gas station, you can blast your music, you can go hang out and fuss and cuss, and people gonna look at you and say, fags, 100, keeping it 100. Man, they spin facts. Those are truth. Have you ever understood why it's so hard to understand and believe the word of God, but it's easy to believe everything that happens on social media? Because we have a sinful nature. But we have to understand that we are to humble ourselves underneath the hand of God. Because one thing I want to tell you today, brothers and sisters, heaven is real and hell is real. But our desire should be to be with God in heaven, to be with Jesus in heaven. So that's all I wanted to remind you today. I wanted to remind you on how much we underestimate humbleness and that we can all stand to be a bit more humble. And I pray that this message has helped you recalibrate your life. I pray that God blesses you real good on this week. I pray that God holds you up on every single side. I pray that God blesses you, your family, and everyone that is connected to you. I pray that under the sound of my weak voice, I pray that God has made you better. I pray that your life gets better. On this week, I hope you go to another level. On this week, I pray that God gives you every single thing that you need and sprinkle in just a few of those things that you want. I ask you on this week, Father, just cover us and protect us. I pray that you help us to be better people than we have ever been before. I ask God that you keep us and hold us in the palm of your hands. And all of these things we ask in your Son Jesus' name, and we believe every single word that has been spoken on today, that it will be so and that we will be better. And all of these things we ask in your Son Jesus' name, we pray, amen, amen, and thank you, Jesus. God bless your church family and friends and guests. We will see you on the next one. God bless.